Hello and welcome to your day three Cheltenham Festival preview here on the Formbook, looking ahead to a competitive first day of action, which is of course headlined by both the Ryanair Chase and the Stayers Hurdle. Lots to enjoy on this edition of the Formbook. Hopefully we can point you in the direction of a few winners. Let's get stuck in. Yes, by this stage of the meeting, of course, you'll be halfway through. Will you be celebrating as Ballyburn roars through in the Gallaghers? Will you be on the El Fabiolo State Man, Lossy Mouth Ballyburn four-timer? Will you have picked the winner of the Coral Cup and much more? Looking forward to the action. Katie Midwinter and Dan Overall with me. You can, of course, listen to Katie's thoughts on day one of our Cheltenham Festival preview across YouTube and on your audio platforms. And Dan, of course, joined us for day two. So make sure you check both of those out. Just give you a little bit of news on BetUK, who are our sponsors for these shows. They're offering get £30 in free bets when you bet £10. This is for new customers only. Deposit and place a bet within 7 days and settle a £10 minimum bet at odds of 4-5 or greater. T's and C's apply. They're also going non-runner, no bet for Cheltenham 2024. Terms and conditions also apply for that. Here at Racing TV, we're celebrating 20 years of Cheltenham Festival coverage. And exclusively here on the Formbook, we've got a limited time offer for new customers. 12 months or half price. We're the only channel showing all 28 races live. And we are on air every day from 10 a.m. 8 exclusive races to enjoy. So make sure if you scan that QR code at the bottom of your screen, you can get involved in that. By that time, we'll probably know about the top jockey and top trainer in terms of how that market's looking. But just on Woody Mullins, this is from BetUK, the number of train winners he might have, 5-4, 8-9 winners, 6-4, over 9, 3-1, 6-7, and 10-1 for under 6 winners. Right, good stuff. So why don't we get into the action now and talk to the guys about the opener, which, of course, is the Turners Novices Chase. Now, at the time of recording here on Friday morning, Factor File is still in, but when the comps come out, I wouldn't be surprised, obviously, if he's pulled. So 7-4 favourite at the moment, but Grey Dawning at 5-2. Ginny's Destiny 3-1. Fassar Vega at 4s. Gaelic Warrior in there too, but he looks likely for the Arkle. Iroko at 5-1 and 10-1 Bar. Dan, I guess the place to start with this race could dramatically fall apart, first off. And steady yourself, could be a race that Britain might win.
Well, maybe let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. That is definitely a possibility, and we'll have a stronger hand here than we probably will in most of the other novice contests at the festival. As you mentioned, Factor File looks more likely to go for the 3-mile option, Gaelic Warrior to the 2-mile. So this does leave it open for the likes of Ginny's Destiny, the likes of Grey Dawning to have a leading say in the race. This may turn out to maybe be the weaker race from a form perspective going into the contest. Looks quite open. And to be honest, I do think is maybe overlooked, who seems more likely to run here, is also British, is Jello. I think, realistically, he hasn't really done much wrong over fences this season. 3 from 5, beat Master Chewy on his chasing debut at Aintree. This would turn into a bit of a stamina affair over 2 miles with fences taken out, as you can see. I think he was only getting £3 off Master Chewy. He was race fit, bang in form. So this was a really impressive chasing debut. He then went on to win a Grade 2 at Ascot, beating a horse called Can Do Kid. Now, that was over about 2.5 miles. And while I wouldn't say that's necessarily form that's going to win you a Grade 1 at the Cheltenham Festival, I think it's a fair effort because Can Do Kid's proven himself to be a very useful handicapper rated in the mid-140s. You can forgive the effort at Lingfield where he is a fall next to his name. It was a very harsh F, I'd say. He basically got taken out of the first fence and then went to the Scilly Isles where he eventually finished second to Nickelback. Now, going into that race, there were concerns that I think 4 of the 5 were all front runners, including Jello. And the pace could have just collapsed. But Nickelback got his own way out in front. Good ground. They dictated the race. I think Jello had actually did very well to stay on from a very uncompromised position into second. Unfortunately, we lost Hermes Alain at the second last on that occasion as well. He was just getting the better of him for the argument in second. Only finished 7 lengths behind Nickelback in the end. I think given the way that race panned out, that was actually a very good effort under the circumstances. And so I don't really think there's too much you can knock about his profile. He does have to improve a bit to have a winning chance, but I think he's currently underestimated by the market, especially as an each way angle, and maybe put off by the fact he wasn't a Grade 1 horse over in novice hurdles, but he started his chasing career off a mark of 128. But so did Lompresse for the same connection. So I'm hoping there's a bit of deja vu with that. And I think currently Jello is just a bit underlooked in a race that you say, Danny, could cut up a bit more.
20 to 1 currently the price. That's what we like about this show. 20 to 1 first, straight off the bat from Dan. He likes the chances of Jello. I'll just stick with you before I go to Katie for her selection, because obviously you've already mentioned Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny, and there's a clear form link. We saw that, of course, at Cheltenham. Personally, I think Grey Dawning would have won if he hadn't absolutely made that mess of the second last. But obviously, we know that they're kind of intertwined. But if they met here, you know, no issues, no mistakes from either horse, they both jump round, who would you have out of the two?
Well, I think the view to the future, I'm more excited about Grey Dawning going forward. I see him as a horse who could potentially be like the Charlie Hall Chase, the Betfair Chase, King George type next season. Ginny's Destiny is very solid. My concern with Grey Dawning, and where I think Ginny's Destiny may just have the upper hand, is I think Grey Dawning is better on a flatter track. We've seen he doesn't have perhaps the most natural jumping style at times. And I think on an undulating track like Cheltenham, that can cause him issues, like we saw at the last fence there. You see there at Warwick as well, he can be a bit fiddly at times. And I think on more undulating tracks, that can cause an issue. He's a horse I really like, and this was a good performance for all that the race did cut up slightly. But I just have concerns about the track for him, whereas we know Ginny's Destiny and his Cheltenham antics. He loves Cheltenham and his run style as well. He'll go from the front. I think that makes him a solid proposition, but he's short enough because I think he could be vulnerable to one who may just be a bit classier.
Okay, that's a look then at Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny. Katie, come to you next. You're taking on the British contingent. You're sticking with an Irish train runner.
I am. I'm going to go for Fasol Vega. I just think he's had a lot of unwarranted criticism throughout his career. And of course, this season, he hasn't been seen to his best, but I think he's crying out for a step up in trip. We know he has class and ability in abundance. He's a champion bumper winner, finished second in the Supreme last year to a fantastic Marine Nationale on that occasion. I think he just perhaps lacks the speed now to be as effective over 2 miles as a chaser. So I think the Arkle would be a little bit on the sharp side for him. So I'm hoping he does line up in this. I think the step up in trip, it will just take that shine off his jumping a little bit, because I don't think he's quite as slick over his fences enough to make him a top class 2 mile chaser at the top level. But I think over this intermediate trip, it will suit him a lot more. He's got plenty of ability. So I'm hoping that he'll put in a really big performance and just really leave those races behind him the last couple of times and put in what we know that he can do.
Katie's nap, Fasol Vega then, in the 130. A couple of others just briefly mentioned. Irocco is a fascinating contender, Katie, given we've only seen him once over fences, and he did the business in very, very nice style, as we see here. It's not going to be easy for him, of course. We haven't seen him since. There was rumours that he probably wouldn't make the festival from the Green or Guerrero stable, but they've managed to get him back. What chance do you give him? He's thoroughly unexposed and 5-1 currently with BetUK.
Well, he's a good win of the Martin Pipe last year, wasn't he? Before he finished third in a good renewal of the Sefton at Aintree. His first run over fences was very impressive. It's just a shame that we haven't seen him since, but clearly he's had his issues. The form of this race has been nicely franked as well, though, with Golden Sun winning at Kempton recently. Kilberg King has been progressing nicely as well and just beaten in a grade two. And Gutter Tonic won at Newbury, who was behind him that day. He is less experienced than the others too, and this is really competitive. It's going to be much more competitive than that race at Warwick. But I think if he's back to the level that he has shown in the past and he's back to full fitness, then he could be the dark horse in the field.
Okay, that's then a look. Golden Sun, by the way, runs tomorrow at Sandown. So there's another bit of form that could potentially be franked. So Jello for Dan. I'm with Grey Dawning. I'm quite strong on Grey Dawning. I think he'd be one of my best bets of the Thursday. I just think if he can get into a good rhythm, his main concern is his jumping. And I know what Dan says about maybe a more trickier track to handle might be something of a concern. But for me, I think he's got a massive engine. I think he's a real talent. The one I would be looking to take on is Ginny's Destiny. I know he's gone the same route as Stage Star, but I don't know if he's as good. And I think he could be vulnerable to a couple in this. Katie's nap is Fasol Vega. So that's a look at the first. One of the most competitive betting races of the week coming up, one I do enjoy, is the Potemps. And I've got it written down here because my partner's Irish, so she's helped me out here. It's Gwaith Quill is the favourite. 8-1, 17-2 Chantry House, 9-1 Cletus Poulor and Ikari Allen, 10-1 for Gabby's Cross, 12s for Springwell Bay, Cuthbert Dibble and White Rhino at 14s, 16-1 bar. Start with you on this occasion, Katie. Who do you like here?
Well, I'm finding it tricky to make a strong case for any towards the head of the market. So I've gone to look for something at more of an each way price. And I've kind of fell upon Itchy Feet. I think he's around 80-1. if I'm right there. But he was third in the Supreme once upon a time. Now, he's a massive long shot, but I'm not sure exactly what the final field is going to look like yet. So I think it's maybe worth taking a chance on a horse like this if he does line up. I think he's going to be a big price on the day. He's a 10-year-old now, and he's probably past his best, but he was less than 7 lengths behind the winner last year in the race, carrying a hefty weight off a £3 higher mark. Won well at Market Raisin in November. He's £2 higher on this occasion. I think good to soft ground is probably going to be the key for him. If it does get a bit testing, then I wouldn't fancy his chances as much. But I'd be hoping that maybe at a huge price, he could be one to run into those extra places.
66s now. Someone has snaffled the 80s, but probably Katie. The 66s, though, is still available with BetUK for Itchy Feet. Fantastic selection there. What about yourself, Dan?
I'm a big fan of Gabby's Cross, but yeah, you can't knock an 80 to one shot being put up. That's quite spectacular. I thought Jello at 20s would be big enough, but 80s, well, that's one-upmanship for you. Love that. For me, Gabby's Cross is a horse I'm a big fan of. See, he has been a prolific handicap chaser in Ireland, but for a horse who achieved a mark in the mid-140s, his jumping over fences was average to say that probably that's been quite nice. Always had a tendency to hit a fence, so it was a miracle we achieved what he did. Reverted to hurdles this season. He was second to Buddy One when coming from off the pace. That race has had a load of subsequent winners in behind. Then he qualified for the attempt here at Punchestown when second to Jody Ted, who was just thrown in on his hurdle racing. He went on to be 7-2 favourite for the Paddy Power over Christmas, over fences, up a much higher mark when he fell. Had previously bolstered over fences previously. Didn't exactly get the run of the race on either of those occasions, but the form of those two races over hurdles early in the season is rock solid. That qualifier we just saw has produced three of the last six Irish winners of the Potemps final. And he looks to have been freshened up with this in mind. It's seemingly a long-term plan. So he was rated 127 over hurdles in Ireland. He got £6 to a mark 133. But I mean, his chase mark in Ireland is still 140. So he's still a relatively well-handicapped horse, I think. He goes well fresh, as we've seen in the past. He won a Galway handicap of 137 of a three-month layoff. And it was a similar break as well. Saw him only beaten four lengths in a Paddy Power of 143. So he has a lot of high-class form to his name. He's still relatively unexposed as a staying hurdler. Seemingly been a bit of a long-term plan. And given that he achieved a fair level of form over fences, despite not being a good jumper, I think there's a bit more to come from him over hurdles off a reduced mark.
Okay, Gabby's Cross, an interesting selection. We've got to talk about two JP McManus owned horses, even towards the top of the market. Ikar Allen, who, of course, qualified back at Aintree. That was a nice performance. Just getting qualified early, put him away. And, of course, the other one is Chantry House. I don't know, Dan, if you want to go first. Either of those out of the two that you would favour?
Well, Ikar Allen is interesting, as you say, similar profile in that we got him qualified early and he's been put away. To me, he's just been a bit of a disappointing horse. I remember him as a juvenile hurdler. I thought he could be quite useful and just never really kicked on. Had a couple of chances at Cheltenham and maybe disappointed slightly. So he wouldn't be for me, but I can see why he'd be a relatively short price given connections and given that this has clearly been a long-term plan. And Chantry House, I just maybe don't think he's the horse he was. I remember I backed him for the handicap at Cheltenham early in the season where he was ridden with extreme restraint and stayed on in the third. They had a couple of attempts to get him qualified for the attempts. I think they finally did it on the second attempt, but I just think he may not be the horse he was. Obviously, he does have a lot of back class, but I think some battles and some tough experiences over fences may have just taken their toll.
Yeah, this is Chantry House finishing fourth at Huntingdon, and the previous VT, of course, was Corey Allen's third at Aintree. So that's a look at the two McManus horses towards the top. The final one to mention was that favourite. I can't waste the time that I've learned how to pronounce it, Gwaith Quill. This was in the DRF. Maxim's a horse I've always liked, and I think this was a good performance for Maxim to bounce right back to form, but I thought Gwaith Quill did well to at least serve it up to him. He travelled into it stylishly, and I wouldn't put you off him for Ted Walsh, who's brought this horse along steadily, and I think there still could be more improvement to come. How come you didn't like the look of this one, Katie? Just on price?
Yeah, I suppose just trying to look at one for a bigger price, really, because it's such a tough race, competitive, anything can happen in it, but I do like the chances of this mare. She's rated 136. As you say, this race was really good for Maxim and she was staying on all the time. She's been running consistently well this term too, second to Dancing Jeremy at Punchestown. He ran well in subsequent races and won recently at Searles. She was also second to Espinito Bello at Nace. So I think there's good form in the book there and this could be her day in the suns.
Okay, so we've got Itchy Feet at 66-1 for Katie, and I'm with Dan. I think Gabby's Cross has got a right shout in that. So 210, two votes for Gabby's Cross and Itchy Feet, the other one for Katie. Well, we've got more big selections on the way coming up next because we've got the Ryanair to look forward to. Here's how they bet. This is another race, of course, that will change. When El Fabiolo is taken out, he's a 7-4 favourite, but Banbridge is essentially your 3-1 jolly. 100-30 for the defending champ, Envoy. And then 9-2 for Stage Star. Fast or slow, the same price, but he looks like booked for the Gold Cup. 7's conflated, 15-2 Cappadano. 10's for Fildor, Protectorat 14-1 and 16-1. Bar, Protectorat, Dan Skelton gave a good word to on the Wire preview, which you can also watch on our YouTube channel. So I'll start with you on this occasion, Dan. It's all about the ground for the mighty Banbridge, isn't it? But I'm not sure at the moment. Hopefully he will get conditions, but they pulled him out last year. I'm sure they will be happy to do the same if they're not happy. But how do you see this? Are you team Banbridge on Verlaine, or are you looking elsewhere?
Well, I'd definitely be team Banbridge if he turns up. They've taken a very pragmatic approach to him, really. I think they're just now of the opinion that if the ground isn't right, they're not going to run him. They know they've got a very good horse when conditions are in his favour. So where he turns up, he's very dangerous. And if he does run here, he's by far the horse to beat, in my opinion. And he's the only one I'd be really interested in having a bet on at this stage. Obviously, we'll have to wait until close to the time because of the ground issue. If it was no worse than good to soft, I'd be all over him. Obviously, this at Kempton was another step in the right direction. And really, when you look back at it, he had no right to do what he did on this occasion. Like, that was really impressive on the back of an absence, and the form has obviously worked out extremely well. Just an upwardly mobile, improving chaser, still at his age, has plenty of Cheltenham form. Obviously, won a Martin Pipe a couple of years ago. I think there's still a bit more to come from him. And you look at the rest of these, I think he's probably the only horse who doesn't have a real question to answer. I really struggled to look at a few of these, whether they were either up to this level, or maybe they just had questions about their age. You see the likes of Conflated and Protectorat. They're probably ex-Gold Cup horses who aren't just quite of that class and now dropping back in trip. So whether they're going to be good enough, I'm not sure. Envoy Len, I thought, won a really poor renewal of the race last year. Obviously, Shishkin was a hot favourite for it and basically never went a yard and still got to within a length of him after being off the bridle basically the whole way around. So he wouldn't interest me either, to be honest. So I think if Banbridge turns up, he'll be the one I'm with, and I'm struggling for an alternative.
So Banbridge then for Dan. Just talk about a couple of others in the race. Katie, Dan's already mentioned, of course, Envoy LM, but there's a form line that maybe you like because you've put him up on for LM and Conflated. Of course, meeting at Down Raw when they were behind Jerry Colomb.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Envoy LM, and he is the reigning champion in here. He was brilliant in the race last year. Maybe it wasn't the best renewal of it, but he still ran well and he's been kept fresh again this time around. I thought on this day that Envoy LM did most of the things right. And he ran a big race here. And it's just a shame that he got pipped on the line by Jerry Colomb, conflated back in third. But I think it was a good form line. We know that Jerry Colomb has been well beaten by Galloping Deschamps since, but I think a lot of horses are well beaten by Galloping Deschamps, and he wasn't disgraced on that day. So I think maybe the form line, it still did stand up for me. But I have gone for conflated. I just think he has a lot of class about him, and he seemed to tire late on in his last two runs. Maybe it was a combination of trip and trying to make the run in on the inside when the ground was at its worst in the Savills Chase when he was against Galloping Deschamps. And he unseated late on at Leopardstown too, finished tired and pulled up it before the last in the bowl at Aintree last year. But I just think this drop back in trip is interesting with him. We know that he stays further, so if it does turn up as testing and Banbridge won't quite like that ground or get pulled out, I'm just wondering whether or not Conflated may be able to take advantage of that. So I think he could be a big player. We saw him over this trip, as short as this, 2 years ago in this race when he was 5 lengths behind Alaho before falling late on. I don't think that was bad form at all. So I'm just hoping that this drop back in trip really could be key to him and we could see his class shine through.
Okay, that's a nod then to Conflated, of course, just another angle of that Down Raw performance featuring Envoy LM and Jerry Colomb. Stage Star is another one that needs a mention. Dan, come to you, of course, Paddy Power Gold Cup hero, won the Turners last year, survived this mistake at the last in the Paddy Power Gold Cup before going on to land the spoils. Of course, we saw him then on New Year's Day, disappointed. But what do you think, Dan, about his chances? Paul Nicholls saying this week that he's happy with where he is.
Yeah, I think it was the effect of this is basically his first run of the season, obviously similar to when he went into the Paddy Power. They're giving him a long break after what you'd have to say was a really disappointing run previously. Obviously, heavy ground was put to be the reason under 12 stone, but He had handled testing ground in the past. I'm not sure if that was the only issue there. And he has had the tendency, both as a novice chaser and as a novice hurdler, to throw in some really poor efforts. It wasn't exactly a one-off occasion. On the best form in terms of his turners in that Paddy Power Gold Cup, he'd be up there. I guess you'd also have to have a tactical query, because there are a few in here, like Katie had mentioned, likes of Completed, likes of Protectorat, who have confirmed stamina for Thurver. Whether they'll be ridden positively and whether that will disrupt Stage Star being able to get an easy lead as he has on occasions, that may cause him an issue. And to me, I was just very disappointed by that previous effort. I think it would take a fair bit of forgiving. I can see why people would be happy to, but I think in opposition, like Banbridge, you have a horse who's barely ever put a foot wrong. And when conditions are in his favour, he always seems to deliver. So he would just be the way I'd lean to.
Katie, you mentioned the chances, of course, of Conflated, but another one that you like at a bit of a price is Ahoy Senor, and we can see his performance when fourth to Capodanno last time out in the Cotswold Chase.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue has always been with Ahoy Senor that his jumping can be quite erratic. He's quite a quirky horse, but I think he's a really good horse on his day when he puts it all together. He was much better this day at the Cotswold Chase. He jumped with a lot more fluency. He's never going to be foot perfect over his fences, but I thought it was a pleasing performance overall from him. It's just a shame that the stirrup snapped when he was about four out, I think, and that just really lost all chance for him then. But I thought he was in the process of maybe running into second or third. We know Capodanno was fantastic that day, so it probably would have been tough to beat him. But I do think he would have finished much closer had that not happened. I don't think he ran his race at all last time at Ascot. Pick Dory was able to get an easy lead and steal a few lengths on that occasion. And I was hoping that Ahoy Senor would have been ridden more prominently to really make use of his stamina, because he's a 3-mile chaser in reality, but he's not quite up to standard in the Gold Cup level, and his jumping isn't good enough either. But I just wonder if he was able to get into a nice rhythm from the front this time out, maybe he could use his stamina to good effect and potentially steal a race or finish in the places.
Okay, that's a look at Ahoy Senor. One I'll just give a brief mention to as well that we haven't yet is Phil Dore. This is, of course, with a second in the Hilly Way, subsequently purchased and will be represented by New Connections, of course, after the Andy and Gemma Brown dispersal sale. Brief word on him, Dan. Any chance?
A horse I really like. He's been very consistent since he was a juvenile hurdler. I think he's definitely looks like he wants to step up in trip now. Obviously, he is the one horse who maybe comes into this race with the most progression that he could potentially offer. It's just he does have a fair bit to find on what he's actually achieved, but can definitely see him running a good race and placing. I just think he'll probably find a top-class horse at this trip, maybe too good.
Selections then, Conflated and Ahoy Senor each way for Katie, and Dan is with Banbridge, and he's kind of next best material for me. I think if he gets his ground, I just think he's the horse who's got so much talent and he could see them off in good style. That's the Ryanair then, one of the grade ones. Next coming up is, of course, the championship race of the day, which is the Stayers Hurdle. Here's currently how they bet. Excuse me, 9-4 favourite Tiupu. I think he'll go off much shorter than that. I think he's already constricting in price. 7-2 Irish Point, 11-2 Crambo, Noble Yates at 9-1, 10-1 to Gerhard, 12s for Flooring Porter, 14s Home by the Lee and Monkfish, Paisley Park and defending champ Side of Burleigh at 16-1, and it's 33 bar and bigger the remainder. I'm pausing because I think this is Tiupu has got outstanding claims here. But the more you talk about, a lot of people are putting up horses at an each way price because you've got former champions in this. You've got Paisley Park, you've got a Flooring Porter, and of course you've got Side of Burleigh, who really this is his time of year. So Dan, I'll come to you first. Where are you leaning, particularly with the fact that Irish Point might not even run here?
Which for me is a shame, because I'd have him over Tiupu all day, to be honest, if Irish Point was to come here. I don't like the fact Tiupu got beaten in the race last year in what was, let's be honest, a very poor renewal. Obviously, the fact you've got Side of Burleigh winning it, I think, tells you everything you need to know. And I get the point people are going to make that he may be a stronger horse this year. He was obviously a very young horse going into the race last year, but that looked a golden opportunity to me. He's been kept fresh purposely because he does go very well fresh, but his spring form, he doesn't really have all that much of. He does tend to be, seem to be better at his best in the winter. So I think Irish Point, given all of his form over shorter trips and 3 miles, just screams class to me, would be the option. But with the Constitution Hill news, it looks like they're going down the 2 mile route, which is disappointing. Of the British, I'm just not convinced any of them are up to a high standard. I think Crambo is probably the best of them and will be well touted, but I'm just not sure he's necessarily up to a high standard. I think a lot of the staying hurdling races in Britain this year have been very muddling affairs, and they've all finished in heaps, and form's been reversed on a regular basis. So this was Irish Point winning the Christmas hurdle in a canter, really. I mean, you can argue whether he proved his stamina on this occasion because it was a slowly run race, but it was a heavy ground, and the way he's kicked onto the line would give you very encouraging signs it'll handle 3 miles. But if he doesn't run, I'd be looking for an each-way alternative. Like you mentioned, Danny, a few fair people are. And I kind of came down on Monkfish. Well, it's a bit of a different angle into the race, which is what I was interested in. Bit left field, but I think there's very little doubt in my mind that a prime Monkfish, the best of Monkfish, would be the best horse in this race. So he won a vintage Albert Bartlett, won a Brown Advisory. It's been a case of what might have been since then. Obviously, injuries have derailed his career slightly, but returned to a nice win in the Garmoy Horde, as we're seeing here. Very testing going on that occasion. It's going to be hard for any horse to look very impressive visually on ground like that, but you'd have to be encouraged by the way he hit the line and the way he seemingly sparked back to form and showed he still has plenty of ability. Now, again, there's doubt whether he's going to run because it's seemingly Willie Mullins wants to go to the Gold Cup. Rich Ritchie wants to go to the Stayers Hurdle. I'd struggle to give him much of a chance in a Gold Cup. This looks a far more open race and yet far more winnable race. And given his injury issues, I'd be sticking to hurdles, but I'm no Willie Mullins. Who knows? He'll probably go and win a Gold Cup now. But he's the class angle for me into this race and a bit of an alternate angle. And if he does run here, I think he's got a very good each-way chance.
Okay, that's Monkfish, about a 14-1 chance at the moment. Just talk about the Cleeve Hurdle for a minute, Katie, because, of course, it's one of those races where a lot of these have already met. Of course, we see here Paisley Park was in behind. You had Champ, Botox Haz, Dashiell Drasher, etc., and Noble Yates coming through to do the business and score. What do you make of the form in terms of this and maybe the likes of a Paisley Park?
Well, as Dan mentioned, they're kind of finishing in a bunch in these staying races this season, and the form has been reversed plenty of times. But I do, the one that's caught my eye in this race is Paisley Park, because he's staying on all the time, as he usually does, and I feel like he's going to get up on the line there. And Noble Yates just holds on to get the win. I think Paisley Park is a huge price, considering he's won the race in the past. He is getting older, and maybe that's a reflection on his price more so than anything. But I think he's shown that he still retains plenty of ability. He's been narrowly beaten 3 times this season, and I think he deserves his day in the sun. He deserves to get his nose back in front. Now, this is going to be a tough race to do that in, but I think the better the ground, the better his chance, because he's usually ridden towards the back, and he gets a bit outpaced a few furlongs out. But he manages to stay on better than most in the finish. When the ground is softer, I think it's harder for him to do that. But if the ground did turn up as good to soft, I can expect to see him flying home at the end. And who knows, if there isn't a clear leader out there, one that's gone and kicked for home and able to stay on that well, I think he could maybe just be the one that's finishing best of all and could maybe nick it in the end.
A couple of others to mention. Katie, just come back to you for a word on Crambo for Fergal O'Brien. He's, of course, searching for his first run at the Cheltenham Festival. Big day, of course, with Dysart Enos coming up later. Can't obviously show you the long walk, but here's his winner, Aintree, earlier in the year. What chance do you give him, the up-and-coming stayer?
Well, he's a very progressive horse. He was a bit unlucky at Haydock, but he put things right in the long walk. And his win at Aintree was comfortable enough. Santos Blue in second has won since. I think he's improving and he demands respect for what he did at Ascot. I'm just not sure that Cheltenham is necessarily going to suit him as much, and he's against some hardy stayers in here. So he's really going to have to prove that he's up to this level. But I think he's probably the one that could show the most improvement.
A couple of others just to mention as well, Dan. Flooring Porter, another former champion. And what do you make of Sir Gerhard here? Because a couple of months ago, I was thinking, maybe. But the vibes, I thought he'd be shorter if they really fancied him. And I just think maybe there's a few concerns about him going forward. But I'd be just interested to see what you think. Here's a victory at Punchestown recently.
Yeah, undeniably a very classy horse, as we know. Plenty of Cheltenham Festival form. I just question his stamina. I remember he ran in the Brown Advisory last year, maybe unexpectedly, and was ridden with extreme restraint as if they were unsure whether he was going to stay. Looked like he might sneak into it and then just faded pretty tamely. So I'd be having quite severe stamina doubts about him. And that's not exactly what you want coming into the race. So I agree. He's one of those with an interesting angle into the race because, again, he comes from different form lines and we know he has plenty of class. But, yeah, I'm not sure he's an out-and-out three-miler.
And just a word on Flooring Porter, another former champion who's being rerouted back to hurdles.
Yeah, an interesting campaign. Obviously, it seemed to be going pretty well over fences. And then I think they've looked at the state of this division and thought, well, we have a former champion on our hands here, so we can just easily go back in. We know how he has to be ridden. We know he's got some quirks, but if he can get his own way out in front, he is dangerous. Maybe he's not quite the force he once was. He's been, I'd say, pretty good over fences. I don't think he's shown necessarily too many signs of decline. Obviously, very different discipline, and it can be harder to take to fences later on in your career, but we know he has plenty of class. We know how he'll be ridden. So it'll be there out in front. It'll be a case of anyone wants to take him on. If no one does take him on, we've seen how dangerous it can be to give Florian Porter an easy lead. But you'd be saying at this stage of his career, if he was to come back and win a stayer's hurdle, it'd be a bit disappointing that something hasn't improved past him. But he has to be respected.
So final selections then. We've got Paisley Park each way for Katie. And Dan, if Irish Point doesn't run, he's on Monkfish each way for the stayer's hurdle. So that's a look then at the stayer's hurdle. Few more races still to preview very, very shortly. Next up is the Trusted Trader Plate. 4-1 Fab is Krabili, 11-2 for Theatre Man. Let's be clear about it at 10. Madara, who could go elsewhere at 12, along with Shake 'em Up Harry for Harry Redknapp, 14-1 Garlor, St. Felicien and Samoa at 14s, at 16-1, bar those. Now, of course, Krabili has been the talking horse in the build-up to this race. Given a mark of 140, he beat Tom Morris last time out. He was put up by a certain Irishman called Johnny Dineen on Upping the Ante, so his price collapsed even more, opened at 7s, now best price 4-1. Start with you, Dan. Krabili, he looks to have plenty in his favour.
He does, and I'll give a shout-out to someone I work with closely and a lot of people know from Twitter called Jake Price, who does a lot of Cheltenham entry stuff. He actually put this horse up when he was 16-1 a while ago, so he was probably the originator of this gamble, and it's been a very well-found one now. And he does look to have very great claims when you look at it. So he loved him as a novice hurdler. He was very consistent, very tough, EBF final form working out very well, going very well on his chase debut at November behind Ginny's Destiny, where fell 2 out, and then jumped poorly at December in that race we saw earlier behind Ginny's Destiny and Grey Dawning, but still didn't finish all that far away. This run at Exeter, to me, only a three-runner race, but the way he was ridden was very much of the style of a horse they just wanted to get some confidence back into. Ridden out the back, given a bit of space at his fences to kind of just get him into a rhythm again. And in the end, I think they don't probably weren't expecting him to win, or maybe hoping he was going to, but he's done it quite nicely in the end of a manner of a horse on the upgrade, and the horse who got his confidence over fences back. I do think he has a very good chance. The only issue I have with him is that his run style will probably need some luck in running. We've seen in the plate in the last few years that those up with the pace and those making all have a very good record. He'll probably be ridden with restraint, and he will need his jumping to stand that test. If it does, I still think there's room in that mark of 140, and he does have a very good chance. But I do think we're at the stage where his price will drift out because he is very short.
You're in agreement, Katie. You like the chances of Krabili as well?
Yeah, I think his form is up to graded level, and a mark of 140 looks lenient in that regard. Beat Tamoris at Exeter that day, where we just saw now, and he went on to put in a big performance in the Pendle, and he's a talented horse on his day. Has that form with Ginny's Destiny too, who's a leading contender for the Turners. So I think the same as Dan, if he's able to get a clear round of jumping in here, which is maybe a slight concern, and also he'll need that bit of luck. But I think if he's able to put it all together, then he looked quite well in on his mark.
Okay, that's a word on Krabili then from Katie, and plenty of the guys obviously keen on the chances of that one. But Dan's put up another one at an each-way price. Who is it, Dan?
Yeah, Dalko Bahui is maybe a stretch to get in off 1-3-4, but I think he will sneak in at the bottom of the weights, and I think there's reasons to be optimistic. Obviously, you go back to this win in October. This was not the victory in the style of a horse who was going to stop progressing over fences. He was very highly tried as a novice hurdler. He won on his hurdling debut and absolutely bolted up, and then was thrown straight into a grade one in the Challow, where he finished third, which was by no means a poor effort, bearing in mind he was a four-year-old. Bit hot and cold after that, but I think he was just a young horse learning and wasn't exactly filled his frame yet. He was only 4 going on 5, only 6 now. That form of that race in October, I think, is solid, and he was looked really impressive on that day. And the last 5 winners of the plate all came into the race having won over the course earlier in the season. So course form often comes to the fray. I know that was on the old course, this is the new course, but he's proven he handles Cheltenham. I think you can forgive his run at Kempton last time out, because I don't think a sharp right-handed track is for him. I think a mark 134, there's still improvement to come. And we know his run style is also going to suit, because he will be risen positively. I think there's still a bit of scope on that mark of 134, and he ticks a lot of boxes from a trend perspective.
25-1 then. Another big price selection from Dan. We've had a 66-1 from Katie. Dan's put up two 25-1 shots now. Jello and Adolko Bihu. Can't even say it. One other selection that to look across to is Theatre Man, because we've already spoke about that Ginny's Destiny form. Well, he is a horse, Katie, who has that as well. Here he is finishing second. Spot the white cap, just jumping the fence now, and he stays on strongly up the hill. What do you make of his chances for Richard Bandy?
Yeah, he's a strong stayer. The way that he made up this ground on this occasion was very impressive, and he's up £3 for that second place finish. But I think he's still on a handy enough mark, so I can imagine him going very well. He was second to Inch House earlier in the season too. Clearly a horse that does his best work towards the end of a race. But the way he's staying on here, it would give you plenty of indication that he's going to run a big race.
And just the final one to mention, I think, Dan, is Let's Be Clear About It, who's probably the best of the Irish at the moment on what the betting, essentially. Here he is at Fairy House. This was third. We saw this form yesterday, of course, with Sonwar when we were previewing that race. Do you give him any chance? Gavin Cromwell, I think, has put him up at a few preview nights as being one of his better chances of the week.
He's got a lot of class about him. I just maybe query whether what his trip really is. And I think they've been scratching their head to a certain extent. Obviously, this was over at 2-mile 1. They'd previously maybe thought of him as a stayer. We saw him last time out of a 3-mile 1. He ran in the Albert Bartlett last year. He was generally over intermediate trips earlier in the season and had looked very impressive. I think maybe he just gets found out as being a bit tripless in better races. And this is a hell of a mark to defy. So he wouldn't be for me, because I just have queries about whether he's a bit tripless and he's off a mark 153, which will be very tough to defy.
So Krabili then for Katie, and Dan is with Krabili, and then Adolko Bihu each way. Let's have a look at the next race then, which for many is one of the corking races of the day. It's the Ryanair Mares Novice Hurdle. 13 to 8 Fav is brighter days ahead. 9-4 for Jade DeGrugy. Dysart Enos at 4-1. Golden Ace at 10-1. Fun at 20s, and it's 25-1 bar. Three fantastic mares, hugely exciting prospects. Katie, start with you. Out of the three, where would you be pinning your hopes?
I'm finding it quite hard to split them, because the three of them are quite unexposed. They're clearly very exciting mares, and they should have big futures ahead of them. I think there's been a lot of talk about Brighter Days Ahead, hasn't there? The connections are speaking very highly of her, and Gordon Elliott seems to think she has huge potential and is a real star in the making. Now, I was at Navan this day when she beat Pastoral there in second, who actually did run a big race. She's improving all the time for Henry de Bromhead, but the way Brighter Days Ahead won this day, she just looked quite special. She's unbeaten. We're yet to see a weakness in her. Maybe the only slight concern would be the fact that she's dropping in trip. That day at Navan was over 2.5 miles, on softer ground as well. Most of her form is on soft to heavy. I just would be concerned if it wasn't too testing that she could perhaps be beaten for speed. Jade DeGrugy looks a horse that has plenty of speed about her. So if that drop back in trip isn't really the best way to go with Brighter Days Ahead, then perhaps that could be the only weakness in her. But I think she's versatile enough to do it over 2 miles, 2.5 miles. I think she's got plenty of ability, and I wouldn't be too worried about it. And she's probably the way that I would be leaning.
Plenty of VT, Dan, we've got for Brighter Days Ahead. Here's one of the wins at Turlers. Talking about the trip there, Katie, but are you in the Brighter Days Ahead camp? I mean, the vibes are ridiculously strong from the Elliott camp.
Yeah, they are. And they wouldn't be ones for maybe going unduly optimistic about their horses. I mean, they're generally not shy of saying when they have one they like, but the vibe is that this is the best thing they've had since Apple's Jade. And she could well be a very similar type. Obviously, we saw her at 2.5 miles there last time out. Didn't have any stamina issues. 2 miles there doesn't seem to be any issue to her. I don't think she lacks for speed. I do think she'll be a bit better over further. We can see with these Mares Novice Hurdle fields, they're often very big fields. Often stamina can be a bit of a necessity, especially on the new course, which tends to favour stamina over speed. So I think that'll be in her favour. I think what I liked about the last day was, I mean, you just saw it there at Down Royal. She had the tendency to not be the best jumper, and she was almost just winning and by defying her poor jumping. But at Navan, she jumped like a bunny. She was really good. And maybe you can put that down to it being over further, so she was going a bit slower. But if she can take that experience and jump her hurdling as efficiently as she did on that occasion and back down in trip, I think she'll take a bit of beating. I do like Jade DeGrugy, but the Brighter Days Ahead vibes have maybe just swept me away to a certain extent, because I think she could be very, very good.
No, I think that I would be in the same camp, really, in terms of the vibes maybe swaying. It's got a bit of that Imperi Pass sort of thing about it from last year, where the vibes were very strong for that horse and duly delivered. This was good, though, under Brian Hayes from Jade DeGruzzi at Fairy House. Put the race to bed in a matter of strides and kept on strongly. Looks an exciting prospect. Do you think she's the one that Brighter Days Ahead has got the most to worry about, Katie?
Yeah, I'd think so. Her form is on softer ground as well, but she easily beat 15 rivals on her debut for Willie Mullins. That was her first run over hurdles, and she was hugely impressive. She backed that race up with another win as well in a Grade 3 at Fairy House, comfortable fashion once again. She looks quite straightforward. She jumps fluently on the hole, and I think there's a lot to like about her. It'll be an interesting race. I think it is that vibe thing with Brighter Days Ahead that maybe just puts it in her favour, but... You know, Jade DeGruzzi could be pretty special too.
The Mullins camp are talking her up. They're big fans of her. So Jade DeGruzzi, could she deliver the goods? The other one we're going to mention is Dicer Enos, of course, for Fergal O'Brien. Already has winning form at Cheltenham, Dan, and is a hugely exciting prospect. Probably before these two emerged, Brighter Days Ahead and Jade DeGruzzi. She was the one many thought they would have to beat in the Mares Novice Hurdle, but now finds herself 4-1 third favourite at BetUK.
Yeah, you have to feel for the Fergal team slightly because you think, oh, we've got the clear favourite probably going into the race. And then all of a sudden, Jade DeGruzzi comes out of absolutely nowhere, having won a point-to-point, bolts up in a maiden hurdle and now looks extremely promising. That's just the forces you're up against, unfortunately, when you tackle the likes of Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins. I mean, Dicer Enos obviously had a very different campaign. They've been purposely avoiding the graded races to make sure they avoid that penalty. So the two mares are going to have to give her £5. But we've seen mares carry the penalties to success in this race. So I think class often comes to the fore. And there's no denying she has the class. Whether it's a case of the fact that she's been in lesser races may just have hindered her experience going into a race like this, that'll be interesting to see. But she was impressive in beating Beat the Bat, who is by no means a bad horse. I think he's well above average for Harry Fry. So she has to be respected based on what she's achieved. And obviously they think the world of her. It's just maybe we're getting slightly carried away by the fact the Irish have been so dominant in recent years that the market is skewing towards them. But I think she was to be able to beat those two. I think it would be a monumental performance because I think in Brighter Days Ahead and Jade DeGruzzi, we could be talking about two horses who are heading the Cheltenham market next year, maybe one for a mare's hurdle, maybe one for a mare's chase, because I think that's seemingly the regard in which both are held.
And if one doesn't turn up or disappoints, Golden Ace, Jeremy Scott, has he got a chance of having placed claims here with a Jewel Taunton winner who clearly has an engine, but at 10-1, could this be one for the places, Dan?
She's looked very good. I mean, you can't deny what she's done. She's looked pretty stylish on her two hurdling runs. Obviously, on bumper form, she's held to a certain extent, but seemingly has taken the hurdles very well. I mean, this was a very cool ride, as you're likely to see, not even really asking her for much. But on she's rated 124, obviously does get £5 from the two mares at the head of the market. In a normal year, you'd maybe saying she'd be half the price she is, but this just doesn't seem to be a normal year. Very likable mare. Maybe one to keep an eye out for maybe a handicap, maybe at Aintree, or if they go down that route, because she just seemed to have quite a lenient mark. So, yeah, I'd keep an eye on her moving forward, but maybe not just the class of the front two.
Okay, so it's a hat-trick then for Brighter Days Ahead, all of us going with Gordon Elliott's charge. Right, we're nearly there. One more race to preview, and that's the Kim Muir. This race has changed complexion slightly, of course, with Percival Lagawa now not making the trip. He's going to stay in bed, and instead it's I Know the Way You're Thinking, the 7-2 fav for Gavin Cromwell. The shape of the market is highlighted by the fact that at the moment, 8-1 for Cool Survivor, 17-2 for Good Time Johnny, defending champ Angel's Dawn at 10s, Wacker Clan at 12s. Am I Right, who's probably going to go elsewhere? Katie, of course, putting up for the Ultima on the Tuesday, 14s along with Bow to Greatness, and We've All Been Caught. It's 16-1 bar. Dan, on ratings, I know the way you're thinking, you know, a lot of people are going to be with him because he probably arguably is the class angle in the race. He's going to have to shoulder plenty of weight, but he's chased home Gaelic Warrior a couple of times, seen his backside plenty. And we're going to have a look at a performance at Fairy House where he stays on strongly to bag second. I think this was on his chasing debut. What do you make of him in the Kim Muir?
Yeah, he'd be a typical horse I'd like to oppose in this race, to be honest. He has the kind of plot-based profile for this race, but he hasn't really been missed. And he's brought in one of those horses who's just maybe disappointed slightly ever since his hurdling debut. He thought he could be quite useful, but he's just hasn't really won since that maiden hurdle. And he has been running in some decent races. You can see he's often staying on in behind. So there's no real disgrace in that. But to then come into a 3-mile-2 handicap off top weight, having not really had a proper experience like this before, I think is a really tough ask. And at 7-2, I think is a really bad price.
Will he stay? That's the other concern, isn't it, for a few people. Will he actually see out the trip?
I think, well, he'll be ridden out the back to try and stay. And we've seen that is a tactic that does work in a Kim Muir. They often go a very quick pace, but stamina will be needed to be able to make sure he's there at the business end. I'd have those concerns as well. I think he's going to be a short price because Connections obviously had the option of possible Lagawa, who I would have fancied for the race if he was to come here instead. But see, they weren't exactly happy with the British handicapper. So he would be a horse I'm keen to oppose on the basis. He is a bit of a plot horse. He isn't exactly assured of stamina. I think his price is just far too short.
Just stick with you quickly, Dan, because I wanted to ask you about Good Time Johnny, because Martin Greenwood, yep, of course, who's the BHA handicapper, said he was the horse who caught his eye most in terms of the handicap marks. Also, here he is winning the Potemps. He's another interesting one, isn't he?
Yeah, sometimes it's a bit too obvious that even the British handicapper has to get involved and say, look, come on now. We're all having a bit of fun here, but this is just a bit, you're taking the mick a bit. And it's been clear as day what they've been trying to do over fences since the start, and the British handicapper has reacted accordingly because of the different ways the Irish handicap their horses over fences. Obviously, this Potemps turned into a bit of a muddling race, and the fact he was able to surge clear, given his position, was very impressive. Say the British handicapper hasn't missed him. Derek O'Connor had been riding him over fences, so all along it looked like the Kim Muir was a long-term plan. Whether they run now after that massive hike in the weights, I'm not even sure. And you'd think Derek O'Connor will ride. I know the way they're thinking for JP as well. So he wouldn't be for me. It wouldn't be the first time a horse has come into a Kim Muir, not jumped a twig over fences well, and then suddenly sprouts wings like Lazarus. But I'd be hard-pressed to trust him.
We'll come back to Dan to get a couple of his selections because they're at nice prices. Just talk to Katie quickly about the defending champ, Angel's Dawn, who we know stamina clearly not an issue, course and distance when winning the race last year. And maybe I think at the prices, I think 10-1 is a bit of value potentially.
Yeah, potentially is. He ran very, very well last year and she ran well enough to place in Thyestes behind Ain't That a Shame. Had a couple of runs over hurdles before that this season. I think the £11 difference this year, though, she's £11 higher than this win last year, that could maybe make the difference, although she's finishing very strongly on this occasion, beating Stumptown. I'm not sure she's done enough this year to justify such a rise in the weights, but if you look how clear the leading pair pull away from the rest of them, it definitely suggests that maybe there's a bit of value in the price at the moment, but I'd just be surprised if there wasn't a couple in here that are maybe better handicapped this time around.
Now, viewers of the show will know that Katie has a soft spot for Rapper. So you're going to make the case for him in this contest.
I am. He just caught my eye at a big price. He's ran well at Cheltenham before. There's been a few big price winners of this race in recent years. Chambad won 40-1 a couple of seasons ago for Venetia Williams. Now, Rapper was pulled up in this race last year, but he was reported to have bled from the nose. So I think that's a reasonable enough excuse. I'm just a big fan of him and I think he'll be suited by the trip here. He wouldn't want it too soft, but if it wasn't bad, I think he could run a big race, maybe place, get into those extra places. He's up £1 for his run behind 3 under 3.5 at Ascot. He was struggling at one point in that race and I thought I had no chance with my selection on that occasion, but he looked a threat late on. He was staying on all of the time, did all his best work in the closing stages. So I'm thinking maybe just at the prices, he looks a bit of an each way price for me.
Okay, Rapper, I'm just looking, is 18-1 with Bet UK. So if you fancy Rapper, 18-1. Back to you then, Dan, for your selections in the Kim Muir.
Yeah, it's a race I've had to have a bit of a rethink about because the two I had liked for a bit of a while out had been Firm Footings and Percival Lagawa. One's injured and one won't run because they're angry at the handicapper. So it required a bit of a late rethink. The two I've come down on, the first one is Bow to Greatness. Horse has been running into form. We last saw him when third in the Coral Trophy here, where both Ben Jones and Ben Pauling felt that he just blew up slightly at a crucial stage. And they have made very much evident that he's a horse that takes a lot of getting fit. He's still unexposed as a staying handicapper. He was second at Aintree last season to Midnight River off 1.32. Say third in this race, only off 1.33 still. He has just been running into form, and we know the Ben Pauling yard have been flying along in recent weeks and months. Likely to be ridden, you'd say, by Jack Andrews or Gina Andrews. They've both teamed up with Ben Pauling plenty in the past to ride in amateur races with great success. So we'll get a good amateur booking. And then one at a massive price, who I think 66-1 currently, is Grozny. Now, formerly with Charles Burns, moved to the James Owen stable a few starts ago after he won a beginner's chase. A beginner's chase actually worked out quite well at Downpatrick, beat a two-time subsequent winner, Typical Thomas, who won a listed handicap as well. This was him finishing second over 2.5 miles. He had previously shaped well on his debut for the yard as well, over 3 miles at Doncaster. And what's interesting is Alex Chadwick, the amateur who has a lot of point experience, a really good amateur, rode him on both of those occasions, especially on this occasion as well, where he's staying on over 2.5 miles. Now, he is a really top amateur who maybe just goes under the radar slightly. And for a yard who are just in absolutely flying form, he actually rode a double for James Owen the other day. Wouldn't surprise me the fact that he rode him the first couple of occasions over fences, where they've had this race in mind for a long time. Obviously, we know the booking of the amateur jockeys is key for this race. We often see the top amateurs come to the fore. So the fact that he will have one has to be a positive. Actually, Tom Ball, Racing TV's own Tom Ball, was at a preview night with James Owen last night. I did get him to ask about Grosny because I thought he was interesting. Said he would need ground on the better side, but he's a horse they do like. And they do think there's a big handicap in him. So at 66-1, if the ground is better, I think we know he's going to have a good booking. He's for a yard who are absolutely flying along, and they seemingly think he's got a big race in him. So he's one to keep an eye on.
66-1. Well, what a show this has been. 2 66-1 picks, 2 25-1 picks. We'll be off to Barbados if they all land. But Grosny, an interesting one at a big price. So just a reminder of the guy's selections. Just showed you Dan's Bout of Greatness and Grosny. And it's Rapper each way for Katie. So nap time, I'm with Brighter Days Ahead. I think after putting up an each way double on Wednesday, I'm going to stick to something a bit more sensible. I think maybe Brighter Days Ahead. I'm going with the hype, and I think she can deliver the goods in what will be a warm mare's novice. Katie, you are with Fasal Vega.
Yeah, I think the step up in trip is key to him. I've been hoping he will run in this race. Fingers crossed that will be the case. I think he's got plenty of class and ability on his day. Hopefully Willie Mullins is going back to his best.
So that's Fasal Vega then. And Dan, you are with...
Going for the easiest race of the day and always the easiest race of the week, the Potemps Final. But I think Gabby's Cross has an outstanding chance off a lower hurdles mark than Chase Mark. Hoping the ground will be on the better side for him. So a bit of weather watch, but he's been a long-term fancy for me. Hurdling form is working out very well. And I think there's a fair bit of room in that lower hurdles mark.
Brilliant. Thanks very much to Katie and Dan for their company on this show. Remember, you can watch day one and day two on YouTube or on your audio platforms. And of course, we'll have a day four preview still to come. Just a reminder of the Bet UK, get £30 in free bets when you bet £10. Remember, deposit and place a bet within 7 days. That's for new customers only. And of course, they're going non-runner, no bet for all of Cheltenham. T's and C's apply. 20 years of Cheltenham, of course, on the channel as well. And viewers of the form book have a limited time offer for new customers for Cheltenham. There you can see the QR code in the bottom of your screen. 12 months for half price, the only channel showing all 28 races live, on air from 10 a.m. every day, and you get 8 exclusive races. So that's your day three preview done and dusted. So competitive action, but 2 66-1 chances, couple of 25-1 picks, and plenty of other interesting ones beside that. Thanks for watching. Enjoy all the action, of course, next week from the Cheltenham Festival. And please do remember to gamble responsibly.